Let's open in prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here this morning. We thank you for your word, and we ask you to bless it as we present it. We pray that you would touch hearts and lives. Pray for those who listen in. Also, Lord, so many of them, we pray you'd encourage them this day. And we do thank you, Father, for the many gifts that you have given to us to sustain us and give us hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. This is the Let's Do Better Next Year message. Ezekiel, chapter 36. I want you to notice as we read through these few verses, 25 through 27, how many times God says, I will, speaking to the nation of Israel. Israel is the only nation and has been the only nation that was called his people as a nation. And the promises given to that nation were not given to any other nation. They're unique. And what Israel's been going through for the last 3,000 years is quite unique. But here's why they're facing hard times. Because Ezekiel was in captivity, a 70-year captivity that God placed them in Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar was going to hold them captive for 70 years. He was a prophet, and he spoke to God's people why they were there. So we're just going to drop down to chapter 36, verse 25. Do you remember the I wills? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Quite a statement. And if you notice, five times he said, I will. It's not what they were going to do. It was what God was going to do with them and through them. We're down the road about 2,500 years, and God is still dealing with Israel. Now, they haven't turned to him yet. That's a future event. But they're still around, and God is going to hold true to his promise. God is going to deal with the nation of Israel. But to take it from their town and bring it to our town, it's for every believer. There are two ways to learn. There's an easy way, and there's a hard way. If we don't want to learn the easy way, by listening to what God has to say and doing it, we can learn the hard way, because he can bring trouble, difficulties in our lives, and get our attention. And when he does, we should focus, because God does love his own. He loves you if you're a Christian. Loves you in spite of your sins, in spite of your rebellion, but he's going to work in your life. That's a promise. Let's clean it up this year. Let it be the year that we clean it up. Let it be the year that we deal with the issues. It's so foreign in our day, in our culture, to deal with sin. But as Christians, we can't afford not to deal with sin. Because if we don't deal with sin, sin's going to deal with us. And it's never nice. Like it was in Ezekiel's day when he gave this message. A new heart. How about a new heart? A new heart, not the old heart. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I had this triple bypass, and I said, I thought after I had my triple bypass, I'd be like 40 again. Go play basketball and never get out of breath, climb 10 flights of stairs. It wasn't a new heart. It was the same old heart with different plumbing. So I didn't get that advantage that I thought I was going to get. A new heart. Can you imagine what a new heart would feel like? Be amazing. That's what he promised the nation of Israel. And then he said a new spirit. A new spirit in them. When you go back through their history and you study their history and you study the rebelliousness and you study how prone they were to fall into idolatry, you wonder how patient God was with them, and why did they act that way? Well, if we look at our own lives, we realize the conflicts that we have with sin, with God. But he said a new spirit, different spirit. He said, I'm going to take out that heart of stone. You see that in the passage, heart of stone. I don't know about you, but I have a little problem with that once in a while. Getting hard, not caring, building up a callus. Not going to do that anymore. Not going to go there anymore. Not going to say that anymore. Well, it's not hard to get hard. Get hard. It's not hard to get hard. It wasn't for Israel. It's not for us either. We used to minister at the nursing homes, and we really miss ministering at the nursing home. But at the end of every Bible study we had at the nursing homes, we would sing this: let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hand, rest secure in his plan. Let the Lord have his way. 2021. Doesn't that sound strange? Now, it doesn't sound strange if you're only 19 years old. But man, it sounds strange if you're 70 years old. Not that I'm 70 years old, but boy, I'm close. 2021. What we're going to put into 2021. But the first thing we have to do is look back at 2020. What did we do in 2020? Because that was so brief. So many things happened. So much of our lives were changed in that year, 2020. And then speaking for myself anyway, the mistakes we made in 2020, the things we wish hadn't happened. A couple of good old boys working on construction, and it was 12 o'clock and they were stopping for their lunch break. Sat on a couple pieces of wood that were situated there to make themselves comfortable, and opened up their lunch pail and took out their thermos of coffee. One good old boy said, bologna sandwiches. I hate bologna sandwiches. He says, that's the third time this week. The other guy said, well, tell your wife not to make bologna sandwiches. He said, I'm not married. Well, he said, your significant other. He said, I don't have one. Well, he said, who made your sandwiches? He said, I did. Made his own bologna. We do that, don't we? We make our own bologna. A lot of the bologna is the bologna we make ourselves. If we look back and say, you know, if I hadn't done that, and if I hadn't expressed it that way, and if I hadn't gone there, I wouldn't have the bologna I'm dealing with today. Isn't that true? Well, you got a brand new year. Here it is, brand new. I'm going to do a study on Thursday, or I'm going to do a sermon, and I go on my computer and I put up a Word document. And that Word document, it's white. There's nothing on that Word document. And I start throwing stuff on there. Then I go back sometimes, I take some stuff off of there. And sometimes I have Paula come and look at it, and we correct a few things to make it more grammatically correct. But it starts out white. And 2021 starts out white. And it all depends on what we are going to bring into it. What we brought into it from last year and the year before. The last decade, the decade before. Yeah, you want to be careful, because some of that stuff you bring in, this white form that you're just starting to develop, you might mess it all up. I might mess it all up. It's always there. Potential's always there. Well, back to Ezekiel 36, that's exactly what happened to Israel. They certainly messed it all up. Hey, there were times that really they were done with God. But you know something? God was never done with them. And that's true with believers. Some people say, well, I can't change it. It's just stuff happens, it falls in my lap, and that's just the way it is. And I can't turn over a new leaf. And I can't make it different. Really? Can't? Or you won't. Because it's as simple as this. You make a car payment. You make a car payment every month. You make a house payment. You make a house payment every month. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth every month. No, you don't. You do that every day. Or you should. Go to work. You have to go to work. Not always excited about that. Has to be done. Make your bed. You got to make your bed. By the way, that's a good little YouTube video. Make Your Own Bed by the Admiral. You did a good job on that. As a matter of fact, I have the book. Try to succeed in at least one thing for the day. Can we do that? But you know, really, we should start right off. We shouldn't wait. We should start right off. Fellow was making a resolution. It was 2014. He says, I will get my weight down to 180 pounds. It was 2015. He said, I'll watch my calories until I get below 190. It was 2016. He said, I'll follow my new diet religiously until I get below 200. It was 2017. He said, I'll try to develop a realistic attitude towards my weight. It was 2018. He said, I'll work out 5 days a week. It was 2019. He said, I'll work out 3 days a week. It was 2020. He said, I'm going to try to drive by the gym at least once a week. Well, at least he's getting more realistic in what he's going to do, right? But he's not in charge. Another man said, 2017, I will try to be a better husband to Marge. 2018, I will not leave Marge. 2019, I will try to reconcile with Marge. 2020, I will try to be a better husband to Wanda. Some of you didn't get that. No, it just wasn't funny. Philippians chapter 3, we've heard this so many times. If you want to turn to that passage in your Bible, read it for yourself. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to just go ahead of you because I've got too much stuff. Paul says in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Do you get that? Paul said that. The apostle Paul said that. I personally believe he was the greatest of the apostles, but everybody has his or her own opinion. But he made this statement, I don't have it all together. Huh. He didn't have it together. Do you think I have it together? Do you think you have it together? No, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, here's what I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's back there is back there. And all we have is today. But it doesn't mean we can't look forward to tomorrow, what God might have in store for us tomorrow. And we should be moving towards some goals. Because if you don't have any goals, what do you accomplish? Things are half done, left by the wayside, this new year. No, nobody has it all together. Nobody has big S on his chest. Nobody has Superman's insignia emblazoned there. Comic book nerds know the S actually was a Kryptonian symbol meaning hope. Superman appeared to be able to conquer anything. No, nobody has that ability, nor is anyone on planet Earth Superman. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Because, you know, our congregation is getting older. I'm not prejudiced against people getting older because I'm in their group. But the outward man is perishing. I sat there in front of one of my doctors, many, many doctors now. He's 44 years old. I said, you know, doc, someday you're going to be old like me. Don't forget that. Keep that in mind. Talk about playing basketball. I said, well, you know, doc, when I was 44, I played basketball. Not the same today. Doc, don't forget that. The outward man's perishing. Don't put a lot of hope in the outward man. But the inward man can be renewed day by day. The outward man might be worse off in 2021. But the inward man can be better off in 2021. The outward man, whenever your train comes through, the outward man's staying here. He's going to look even worse. But the inward man is going on the train. He's going to a far better place. What does it tell us? Careful spending a lot of time with the outward man. There's not much investing in that. Oh, you should some. But the inward man, invest in him, because it's all about him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Instead of making New Year's resolution, consider committing to a biblical solution. Your promises are easily broken, empty words though earnestly spoken. But God's word transforms the soul by his Spirit, making you whole. As you spend time alone with him, he will change you from within. Mary Fairchild. Thought that was good. We're having trouble keeping up with the outside. But the work we can do with the inside is wide open. The possibilities, the potentials are so great. And fruit, or to hear this statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Wow. That'd be something. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Coming into 2021, don't be unwise, be wise. Translated sometimes literally, to walk accurately, to walk precisely, to watch your step. Coming down off of Mount Katahdin one time, it had rained, and the rocks were slippery. And I slipped on a rock, and I hit my knee on another rock. Ooh! Didn't that hurt? But I'll tell you, from that time until the time I got down to the vehicle, I observed every rock. I made sure where my feet were going and where I was going to plant them and what the results could potentially be. I was careful. The word meaning precise. You can't just wing it. You can't just go with whatever's happening. You have to make some plans and you have to examine what's coming in. And you have to be careful what you're taking out. Talk about COVID-19. That's not our biggest danger. Our biggest danger as Christians is the foolish thing we could embrace, which could take us off track. There are dangers that could be detrimental to us. Our biggest fear should not be COVID. Our biggest fear should be not doing the will of God. That should be our biggest fear. How do we do that? We do that by being careful. We do that by watching. Observation. Be careful. It's a dangerous world. Be careful with decisions. Be careful with relationships. The woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times. If I'd have been there, my advice to her, don't get married again. You're not very good at it. You got a problem here. Be careful with that. People go on their computer and they find that perfect person up there. Sometimes they kill them, you know what I mean? It's amazing what people will do. It's amazing what they believe. Just this week, I got a phone call. The caller informed me I had a $700 order through Amazon. I never ordered $700 worth of goods from Amazon. 2 days later, I got another call, a $500 order from Amazon. I never made a $500 order from Amazon. You know what they wanted? They wanted me to call them back. They said, oh yes, Mr. Gardner, we'll fix that. What was that credit card number again? Do I have stupid written on my forehead? Would people fall for that kind of stuff? Don't do that. You're thinking ahead. Careful with reactions. Might not be a right reaction. Oh, I get that every year. Planners and write stuff in your planner. I remember a guy used to sit next to me in a meeting and he had his planner. And I looked at his planner and every day, I said, man, you don't have a life. His whole future is planned. But I can think about that. Maybe he just wanted to be busy because he couldn't not be busy because you'd have to think about problems. It's good to make plans. But what kind of plans? It's good to make spiritual plans. Here's a spiritual plan. We go through the Bible in 39 months. It's a chapter a day. Chapter a day won't kill you. Chapter and a half. Chapter a day won't kill you. I'm going to enter into that plan. We're going to continue that plan until I'm no longer pastor here. Plan is to read a chapter a day. 39 months you read through the Bible. Do you know most Christians don't read through the Bible? They just don't read through it. They listen to a lot of preachers, and a lot of them aren't worthwhile listening to. They read a lot of commentaries, books, but they never go through the Bible for themselves. We kind of deal with the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses about the fact that when we talk to them, we find out they don't read the Bible. But then when you talk to most Christians, they don't read the Bible either. They just go on what they heard said about the Bible. Or, that's a great preacher, so everything he says must be biblical. Really? Somebody was sharing with me not long ago a story about the Bible, about Esau coming to meet Jacob. The way it was presented was, Esau was coming to forgive Jacob for all that he did to him. And I'm thinking, have you read that? In my mind, I'm thinking, have you read that? Because Esau was coming to see Jacob with 400 men. Does that sound like forgiveness to you? Doesn't sound like forgiveness to me. Well, that's really strange. I'm thinking, you heard that somewhere. You should go back and read that for yourself. Because what you heard and what's in the passage, they are two different things. Who's going to do that? Because some people can preach some great sermons. I'm not one of them, but some can. So people don't check the facts to make sure it's right. Redeem the time. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We go through life so active. We're doing this and we're doing that and we're running here and we're running there. And we've got texts, emails, telephone calls, DirecTV with 300 channels and nothing to watch. We've got all that. No time to stop and think about God. The one who put us here, the one who created us. No time for him. We entertain some people here and we entertain some people there. And sometimes we say, all the time I spent with them was for nothing. Wouldn't be that way with God. Out there in eternity, we never say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time with God. You're going to live with him for eternity in a much closer environment than we have today. I know, I struggle with that myself. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How do you recognize that when it comes along? How do you recognize opportunities? I read a lot of history, and I read a lot about generals and people like that. How they got to be in that position, and how they rose up through the ranks. Some that you thought would never make it. They interviewed General Sherman about General Grant. They were together, Grant and Sherman. And Sherman had some times when he was crazy. He lost his head and could have lost his commission. But Grant stood for him. And there were times when Grant was drunk and he could have lost his commission. But Sherman stood for him. And later on, Sherman said to one of the reporters who asked him about Grant, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, General Grant, he stood with me when I was crazy. I stood with him when he was drunk. Two of the best known generals the North had in the Civil War. It's an amazing thing. But here's what I'm saying. They took advantage of opportunities. Sometimes you say they took chances. Well, maybe they did. But they realized that's the only chance they had. And if they didn't do it, they'd lose. Here's an opportunity. What's the opportunity? Read the Bible. Daily connection with the Bible is the greatest opportunity you have before you in 2021. You have it? Read it. You're having trouble with it? Get a different translation. Having trouble with the King James? Get a new King James. Having trouble with the new King James? Get an ESV. Having trouble with ESV? Get a Bad News for Every Man. I don't know. Read it. Why? Because it wants to read you. That's the only book that you will read that reads you. It'll tell you something, the Word of God. It'll give you direction, the Word of God. It'll build faith, the Word of God. 2021. It's a good thing to do. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Is another way this is said. Buying the time. We buy stuff. Buy time. So you're looking at 2021. It's there for the offering. It's full of time. 365 days. How much of that time are you going to purchase for yourself? Now some of that time is already purchased. If you're working for Northern Maine Medical Center, they've already purchased some of that time. You've got to give that time to them. That's only right, because they're going to give you a check and you'll buy food, BLT. So that's taken care of. You have family, and they want to buy some of that time. So they're going to purchase some of that time, your time, they're going to purchase that, and you're going to give that to them. And friends are going to buy some of your time. Illnesses are going to buy some of your time. You maybe don't even know that. We shouldn't talk about that, but it will. Illness will come, and that's going to buy some of your time. But there's time left. What are you going to do with that time? Because it's your time. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it? Because if we don't use it, it's gone. It's gone. And it's never going to come back. Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember that? God said, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will. But back to His will. What's God's will? What's God's will for me? What's God's will for me? Where do I fit into this grand scheme of things that God's doing? See, here's the problem with Israel. Now, you look at Israel as a nation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 boys, 12 nations. Taken down to Egypt. 400 years. 3 million of them. Man, they're like rabbits. Come up out of Egypt. Go into the promised land. Takes them 40 years. Well, it should have taken 3 months. Get in the promised land. Ah, great. Have it. God raises up for them leaders like Joshua. Then judges. And the thing just falls apart. Just crumbles. Why? Because they didn't have the information? No. No, because they left the information on the shelf. They started to wing it. They started to grow in their own way. They started to believe that the people of the land that God was going to drive out had better things going for them than they had. Crazy or what? Then God raised up a king, Saul. Another king, David. Then Solomon, his son. Then after Solomon, the kingdom divided between the northern part and the southern part. Each part had like 20 kings. About 6 of them we call good kings. All the rest were bad. Imagine 6 good kings, 34 bad kings. I know with the election and all, people are a little disgusted with that, but God gave them every one of those kings. God's the one who gives kings. God's the one who sets people up into authority, and God's the one who takes people down. I don't know why individuals are all bent out of shape over that, because that's none of our business. God's the one who does that. Let's let Him do what He does. Do we understand what He's doing? No. Oh, some people do, but I'm not one of them. But my concern should be what God is doing in my life. I should be concerned about my responsibilities. I should be concerned about my actions and my reactions. After all, it's a New Year's message. We're supposed to talk like this. It's a New Year's message. I'm supposed to talk like this on a New Year's message. You're supposed to listen, and you are. Thank you for doing that. That's a good way to start the new year. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul Harvey said this, there have always been times like these. That was a long time ago. Paul Harvey said there will always be times like these. A statement that goes along with that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 10. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. Now here we are today, sitting in here today, and everybody with a mask on, you can say, there have always been times like these. This is just another time. That's all. It'll come, it'll go. And there'll be something else. That'll come, and that'll go. There'll be times of prosperity. There'll be times of famine. There'll be times of peace. There'll be times of war. I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for what I do in this time, 2021. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. What a thing to say. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord has become my salvation. My strength. Strength is quite a thing. Is He talking about physical strength? Or even mental strength? Or is He talking about something deeper than that? A spiritual strength. A spiritual strength that's able to meet the demands even though the physical strength and the mental strength might wane. Is that what He's talking about? I think so. And then He says the song. It's an attitude, really. I can sing a song. Well, not really. Carol can't either, but I can't sing a song. Neither one of us can. I can sing The House of the Rising Sun. Now, that's a good song. Love that song. But it doesn't do anything for me spiritually. As a matter of fact, it might take away spiritually. But I know that song. Grew up with that song. He's become my song. Here's another song. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, there are so many people that are singing that song, and I think, do they know what it's saying? Listen to what it's saying. I'm a wretch. That's what it's saying. And he saved me. I don't think they get it. They just like the song. Like I liked House of the Rising Sun. But when I sing Amazing Grace, or I hear Amazing Grace, that's me. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Salvation is a great thing, but I think he's talking about more than just the salvation of our soul. I think he's talking about other salvations, because you know, the writers of the Psalms seem to be a troubled lot who called out to God in their troubles. They needed help. There was no other place to go. And they went to God. There was no other place to go. And they cried out. God heard them. God delivered them. Salvation from, well, salvation from COVID. What do you mean, salvation from COVID? Everybody has an opinion. They're extreme sometimes on both sides. And I want to be safe from that. I don't want to be saying the wrong thing to people and they misunderstand and we have conflict. I want to be safe from that misunderstanding. Who can help me be safe from that? God. And you know what he might say to me? Just study to be quiet. Don't say anything. If you don't say anything, you won't get in trouble. A lot of the trouble I experienced in my life, especially when I was young, is not because I didn't say anything. It's because I said something. And you know, once that's out, you can't take it back or push it back in. Those words are out there. It's caused damage. Lord, save me from that. Save me from giving my opinion. I get in trouble. You know, I talk about how good Toyotas are compared to Chevrolets. I want to quit doing that because some people, those comments arouse negative emotions. No, but really, they are sensitive about that. They're wrong, but they're sensitive. So you have to say, I'm not going to get into that conversation. I'm not going to go there with them. I'm not going to be drawn in. It's helpful. I'm from a family of eight. They are all over the place as far as theology, politics, and ideology. I love them all. I wouldn't want to hurt one of them. And the thing for me to do to not hurt one of them is to be very, very careful about things that divide and conquer. That's true with the church family. Such a variety of ideas, likes and dislikes. I'd like to minister to them all. Yeah, especially the ones who drive Chevrolet. Remember this, the Lord is my strength and my song has become my salvation. More than your salvation of your soul, it's salvation from situations. It's salvation from sin. You know what God told Cain? Sin's right there at the door. Sin's right there. It's not far away. It's right there. You know, sin's right there. I was reading about a well-known evangelist, found himself in a whole lot of sin. Man I had a lot of respect for. I thought, man, it's too bad. That's really too bad. It didn't have to be. He was a false preacher? No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he was good the way he did. But sin got him. Never goes away, you know. It's right there. For you, it's right there. For me, it's right there. It's right there. So the psalmist says, you have become my salvation. From what? From situations? From sin? From the trouble we find ourselves in? Save us out of that. Isn't that amazing? You think of King David, he's got Saul after him. Saul's the king of Israel, and Saul's out to kill him. The Philistines, they want to kill him too. Sometimes he goes there to find refuge from Saul. It's like, where do you go? How do you get out of this? But he does, because he cries out to God. You might be facing an impossible situation, and all you have to do is cry out to God. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Because of them. You know what? You're going into 2021, and there's a whole bunch of them. Who or what are they? I don't know, but they're to be feared. They're fearful things. We were watching this murder program, and there was a girl, and when she was a little girl, she she would come to her mother's room at night because she was afraid of the boogeyman or something out there, and parents would take her into the bed. And as she was growing up, she had this fear of the dark, fear that somebody was going to get her. So she's in her 20s, and one night she's out drinking with friends, and something happens. She had no way to get home, and she went out in the dark, and somebody got her. Isn't that something? Yeah, there was something to fear in the dark. There was a boogeyman out there. Huh. So, not to scare you anymore, we're coming into 2021, and there are things to fear. Here's what he says. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is saying to the nation of Israel at that particular time in history, I know they're bigger than you. I know they're more powerful than you. I know they could defeat you easily. I know you don't stand a chance, but go. Why? Because I'm with you. Is he with us? See, this is the deal. Is he with us? This was my thinking when we went to Bible school. My thinking was, if I go there and this thing falls apart, I'll come back home and say, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. I made a big mistake. I thought he was with me, and he wasn't. But of course, I'm here today, so he was with me. But other things happened a lot bigger than that. I thought, is he with me? That never goes away. But see, they don't go away either. Who are they? They're the things you fear. They don't go away. Wouldn't it be nice if God took away all those things that you fear? Well, that would be nice, but it's not true. God doesn't operate that way. God has you move forward in spite of your fear. Because he's with you. That's what he says. Be a geologist. 1 Samuel 2:2. There is no rock like our God. No rock like our God. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is our help and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Job says, man's days are few in number and full of trouble. I just do something and it falls apart. And I look at that and I go, why did that fall apart? Because man's days are few in number and full of trouble. Just put it back together again. Get a new piece or something. Move on, because that's over with. But God is there in trouble. Isn't that great? So, next Thursday night, so we can't have a New Year's celebration. Blow those little things as the New Year comes into being. Watch the ball drop. We can't do that anymore. But we can anticipate what we're going to do in the New Year. We can make some decisions. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. And we pray that the truths that we related here today would give us the courage and the strength, the boldness and the wisdom to face this coming year, knowing that you are with us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. You are our rock. And for that we are grateful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.